What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Lakers Outsiders Weekly Podcast, brought to you by UCAS Studios. I am your host, Gary Kessler, here with you as always. And today, I'm not going to be talking about really any games. I'm going to be talking about, it's been a while, I think, since I've really done one of these types of podcasts. But today, I'm going to be talking about the latest rumors surrounding Kyle Kuzma and the Los Angeles Lakers and a possible trade with the Sacramento Kings for Bogdan Bogdanovic. Really interesting rumors kind of floating around today, so I'm going to talk about that a little bit. But before I dive into that, as always, guys, be sure to like this video and subscribe to UCAS Studios on YouTube and all those major podcast platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to subscribe there and do the same for Lakers Outsiders on YouTube and those podcast platforms. And you can find all of Lakers Outsiders content on LakersOutsiders.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Lakers Outsiders. Like us on Facebook. And then you can follow me on Twitter at Gary Kester. So with all that out of the way, let's dive into the latest rumors. I'm just going to give you kind of a timeline of what went down as far as the reports that came out today in the NBA Twitter world. First was kind of out of left field in terms of just this report that came out from Mark Stein, who, if you guys don't know who Mark Stein is, used to report for ESPN, one of the most reputable NBA reporters out there. Now reports, I believe, yes, for the New York Times. Again, very plugged in individual, very good reporter, and has a lot of sources around the league. So he tweeted this out earlier on, by the day I'm recording this, this is Monday. He tweeted out that Sacramento, this is quote, "Sacramento is among the teams that has tried to engage the Lakers in Kyle Kuzma trade talks, league sources say. The Kings know they would have to include sharpshooter and soon-to-be restricted free agent Bogdan Bogdanovic for starters in a Kuzma deal." That's all he had to say about that. And then a little later on, Sam Amick of The Athletic basically responded and said, regarding Mark Stein's intel about possible Kuzma for Bogdanovic swap, "I'm told the Kings are unlikely to be interested straight up. They value his versatility, are comfortable with his restricted free agency, and are 0-6 without him." So this came, let's see, looking at the timeline, about an hour and a half after Mark Stein's report, which I thought was really kind of interesting, that it marinated a little bit with NBA Twitter, and then there was kind of almost a rebuttal, basically a conflicting report. But then a little bit after that, about 20 minutes later, Jason Jones, who is a Kings beat reporter for The Athletic, said to follow up, "The Kings aren't shopping Bogdan Bogdanovic and would need to be blown away by an offer. Kings are fine with his restricted free agency status." So there's a lot to unpack here. Number one, I mean, I think it's fairly obvious, and I've heard rumblings of the same, that the Lakers are definitely taking a peek at what they can get for Kyle Kuzma. And I think they'd be kind of dumb not to, in all honesty. I think he's kind of a polarizing player. Some people, I think, really, really like him, and some people don't think he's all that. So it kind of depends on who you ask. But I think the Lakers should definitely poke around and take a look and see what they can get for Kyle Kuzma, because you're in a win-now mode, right? You have LeBron James, who just turned 35 years old. You've got Anthony Davis entering his prime. Like, this team is built to win right now, and you got to make moves to get a title, right now. And, I mean, you've already mortgaged – well, I don't want to say mortgaged their future, but the Lakers sent off basically all the young assets that they had, a lot of draft picks that they had via pick swaps and things like that. To the Pelicans for Anthony Davis, who is now their future. That's why I didn't want to say they mortgage off their future, because Anthony Davis is their future, assuming he re-signs after this season, which I would be very surprised if he didn't. Mikhail Kuzma was kind of the one young player that was left standing because all the other young players got sent to the Washington Wizards to create cap space to chase Kawhi Leonard, which ended up being Danny Green, KCP, Avery Bradley, Marcus Cousins, and a number of other players. So really, really interesting. I think this is a very polarizing topic. Kyle Kuzma is a very polarizing topic. Like I said, it kind of depends on who you ask and how you feel about Kyle Kuzma as a player. Definitely been an up and down year for him. He's had his struggles. Scoring production has dipped quite a bit. Efficiency hasn't been great, but so here's my stance on Kyle Kuzma just individually. I'm pretty high on Kyle Kuzma. I think my frustrations with him are his inconsistencies. But at the same time, he still is a young player. It's only his third year in the league. I know he was an older rookie. He came into the league at 22 because he was an experienced college basketball player at University of Utah. So he's 24 years old, still a young player. But he's also, I mean, he got hurt in the summertime playing for Team USA and, you know, had to basically come into a brand new role with no camp or anything like that. Missed, you know, some games to start out the season. And that's kind of tough for a young player to do, you know, just based on that. But then to get, you know, acquainted with a brand new role for him. I mean, his first 2 years, he was surrounded by a lot of young players, right? The first year, there's not a lot of expectations there. He comes in and kind of sets the world on fire and is this very surprising, productive 27th overall pick. Looks like an absolute steal. And I think he still is. I think that's great. Like his type of player, the type of player that he is for the 27th pick is a steal. You know, it's tough to find that type of value even at the end of the first round in the draft. So, you know, he comes in, a bunch of young guys. Lakers are still rebuilding. And like I said, has a great rookie year, shoots 36.6% from the three-point line, averages 16 points a game. And just shows to be a very versatile scorer, can score in a number of different ways, and had some great, great games for the Lakers. And then the second year, the three-point shooting fell off quite a bit, dropped to 30.3%, but he still averaged 18.7 points per game, shot 45.6% from the field, so that's not terrible. Became a more efficient, really, scorer from inside the three-point line. And still, I mean, like I said, averaged 18 points a game. You know, showed to be a very versatile scorer, you know, basically a three-level scorer for the Lakers, and I think that's very, very valuable. And then, you know, I mean, and last year was a different role too because he had to get used to playing with LeBron, but still a lot of the same faces around: Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, a lot of the same faces still kind of part of that core group. So the adjustment I don't think was quite as drastic as it has been this year, where it's LeBron, Anthony Davis, you're playing off of those superstars. It's a win now mode. There's a lot of veterans on the team. He's, you know, really, I mean, one of the few young guys on this roster. And, you know, he's coming in already, you know, injured because of the injury that he suffered with Team USA. Didn't have training camp, preseason, all that stuff to kind of get his legs under him. Really just kind of got thrown into the fire. And has to get used to playing off of two superstars for the first time in his career. So, you know, and not to make excuses for him, this is just my rationale on why I'm trying to be patient with Kyle Kuzma and give him kind of the benefit of the doubt that I think he'll figure it out. Because we have seen flashes of him being really, really good. Again, though, my frustration with him is just the inconsistency because the peaks are really, really high, but the valleys are very, very low. And I think you can kind of look at his recent stretch to just kind of personify that. When you look at, I mean, his games, I mean, he had a stretch of games where he played very, very well. I mean, against Denver at home, he had 16 points. And then he had 25 points against the Clippers on Christmas, and then the game at Portland. I was at that game and he played really, really well. 9 of 17 shooting. He had 24 points and just did it in a number of ways. I mean, he was hitting some threes and was, you know, hitting some floaters, getting to the basket, just doing a lot of different things and scoring in a variety of ways. And that's the Kyle Kuzma that the Lakers need. If they could get that consistently, I don't think they really even consider trading him if he's able to do that consistently. But the issue with Kuzma is, like, he comes off, you know, three straight games where he played really, really well after he missed the previous five with an injury. And then against Dallas, the Lakers win the game fairly comfortably, but he scores 0 points, 0 for 7 from the field, and then follows that game. I mean, he has 19 points against Phoenix, only 5 of 15 shooting, and then drops to 10 points against the Pelicans, and then 4 points against the Detroit Pistons. So, like I said, when you look at his game log, it really is just kind of all over the place. When he plays really well, he's very, very valuable to this team. He becomes that third option offensively that can score and can really give the Lakers an offensive punch that they really, really need outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis. But when he doesn't play well, he just really, really struggles, and it really hurts the Lakers. So, very polarizing player. When he's hot, he's hot. When he's not, he's not. And I could see why the Lakers would want to maybe go in another direction and get maybe a different type of player. You know, Bogdanović obviously isn't as big as Kuzma. Kuzma is kind of like a combo forward, can play the three or the four. I think he's probably better at the three. Bogdanović is probably more of a two, but I think he can play the three in some matchups. You know, he's 6 foot six. You know, he's definitely not a small two guard by any means. And I mean, if you followed the Lakers against the Kings, like their matchups the last few years, Bogdanović has been a Laker killer. This guy, I mean, he's definitely, I mean, he's an older player. He is 27 years old, and he's going to be a restricted free agent. So the contracts, I mean, definitely come into play at a certain point. Bogdanović makes $8.5 million this year, and then hits restricted free agency, where his qualifying offer. All this salary info is going to be per Basketball Insiders, who I believe Eric Pincus, one of the best in the business, kind of keeps tabs on all that and really keeps things updated on that site. So credit to Eric Pincus and Basketball Insiders for the salary info. But Bogdanović, like I said, $8.5 million this year, and then a $10.6 million qualifying offer, but he'll probably honestly get a pretty substantial offer because he is, you know, a two guard slash wing that can shoot, can score, and brings, you know, quite the offensive punch. Kyle Kuzma, though, on the other hand, his contract is a lot more favorable, being that he's younger and he only makes $1.9 million this year. Next year makes $3.5 million, and then he has a $5.2 million qualifying offer in 2021. So the contracts definitely come into play. You can't do a Kuzma for Bogdanović trade straight up. The Lakers would have to throw something else in there to make the money work, which I don't think would be a problem because they have a guy like Quinn Cook who makes $3 million. I think if you added in either Quinn Cook or like Avery Bradley, would make the money work. I'm not a fan of throwing in Avery Bradley. Bradley, I know, has kind of had his struggles this year, but I think he's also at times where he's played really, really well. And I think his defense is still a welcome addition out on the perimeter, assuming he can stay healthy. He's been banged up a few times this year. So, but it'd be interesting. It'd be very, very interesting. I'm a fan of it, in all honesty. I like Bogdanović's game. He's, you know, when you look at just kind of the statistical production this year, he hasn't really taken a big leap forward in terms of his scoring. I mean, he scored 14.1 points per game last year. This year it's 14.5 points. Only shoots 42.6% from the field, but three-point line, 38.3%. So much better three-point shooter than Kyle Kuzma. And he's been a little more consistent in his 3 years in the league. He came into the league, obviously, was an old rookie. He's only in his third season as well. Came into the league as a 25-year-old. So, but yeah, 38.3% on 6.9 three-point attempts per game. That's very high volume and shoots a very high percentage. So that would be a welcome addition, because playing next to Anthony Davis and LeBron James, you're going to get a lot of wide open 3-point opportunities. And if you're able to knock them down, you're going to be a big plus on this team. We've seen that with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's resurgence. So that's why I'm a fan of it. I trust Bogdanović a little bit more to be a little more consistently, or to be a little more consistent and consistently knock down open threes. But I also understand the love for Kuzma. I really do. I think, like I said, he's a guy that can be a three-level scorer. And when he plays well, man, the kid's really, really good offensively. I still have questions about his ability defensively. And I do for Bogdanović as well. But it's an interesting deal. It really is, because the contract's a little different. But and you have to remember, the Kings head coach is Luke Walton. Luke Walton obviously has experience coaching Kyle Kuzma, so that could be a factor there as well. It would just be really interesting to see what other pieces would be involved, because the deal doesn't work straight up, and there's the report that the Kings aren't interested in a straight-up deal, even though Mark Stein's kind of verbiage was that they almost would pay more than Bogdanović for Kyle Kuzma. So who knows what's going on? This is kind of what comes with trade season. The trade rumors, there's kind of posturing, from both sides. I thought it was interesting. I mean, you could kind of read it that way, that the trade rumor gets leaked. There's a lot of kind of fan backlash that, wow, the Lakers would be getting a great deal if it's, Kuzma for Bogdanović and a piece, or even just straight up. And then the Kings kind of backtrack and say, no, we're not shopping him at all. You could read it that way. I honestly don't know. I think a lot of it's really just conjecture. But let me know what you guys think. I want to know what you guys think about this deal in the comments. This possible deal, I should say. If the Lakers traded Kyle Kuzma for Bogdanović, how would you guys feel about it? Do you think it would help the Lakers? Do you think it'd be a mistake to let go of Kyle Kuzma? Let me know. Let me know in the comments. I really am curious to see what you guys think about it. I would be in favor of it, and that's not a knock on Kuzma at all. I really like Bogdanović's game. I mean, this dude kills the Lakers every time they play. He has, some problems with his consistency as well. He's been banged up a couple times this year, so that's also a concern. But, man, I would trust his three-point shooting, and I think it would give the Lakers a tremendous spark off the bench. And especially if let's say, for example, the Lakers traded Kyle Kuzma and Avery Bradley for Bogdan Bogdanović. Then KCP jumps back into that starting role where he was very, very good this year. Jumps into Bradley's starting spot. So you have your same starting lineup. And then off the bench in February, you could potentially be looking at Darren Collison. There's rumor that, he's basically, he wants to come back, and he's deciding between the Clippers and the Lakers. The Lakers can offer more money because of the DeMarcus Cousins injury exception that they have. The Clippers can only offer the minimum. Plus, the Lakers can offer more minutes and a more significant role. And basically what we've seen from what Adrian Wojnarowski was reporting, that the Clippers' main motivating factor to signing Collison would just be to keep him away from the Lakers. So if you're Collison, like, why would you go to a team that's the only reason they want you, when they're the team right there also in LA? Collison is an LA guy, grew up in that area, went to UCLA, excuse me, and LA's home for him. So, and would get a significant role with the Lakers and would be a perfect fit for what they need at that lead guard spot. But for example, back to the main point, if Bradley is traded, KCP starts, you could have Darren Collison, Alex Caruso, and Bogdanović on the perimeter with your second unit. I think that's really, really good, and that's something that could be really, really good in the playoffs. Staggering lineups and getting those three guys out there, with different units, and you got Dwight Howard in that lineup as well. So, it's, and Kuzma has that versatility too, where, he can play the three, he can play the four, gives you kind of an outside, a perimeter attack, but kind of can do some stuff in the paint as well, in terms of his driving to the basket. And, he can be a pretty crafty finisher as well. So again, let me know what you guys think of if this deal went down. I'm a fan if it does. And I like I said, I am a fan of Kyle Kuzma. I really am. I'm maybe not as high as like some people are. Some people think that he's always been like the Lakers' best young player out of all those guys that they had. I wouldn't go that far, but I do believe in Kyle Kuzma. I think the flashes that he's shown this year, if he can just harness those and just become more consistent with it, he's such a perfect fit for what this team needs. But the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. Even though he's a young player, LeBron, you know, is 35 years old. The Lakers are in win now mode, so they don't have a whole lot of time to wait. And the trade deadline is next month. So it's sneaking up on us. It's going to be here quick. But I'm just a big fan of Bogdanovich. I really, really am. Like I said, I think on this team, the amount of open threes that he would get, man, that guy would light it up. Would absolutely light it up and convert on a lot of those open three-point attempts, and would be able to be a really, really big spark off the bench in terms of scoring production. And I think that would be just tremendous for this Lakers team. So it'll definitely be something to keep an eye on. I think a lot of times these leaked rumors don't end up becoming actual deals. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. I feel like more times than not, though, they don't. But it's interesting that the Lakers are definitely taking a look around. They're shopping Kyle Kuzma a little bit, kind of seeing what they can get for him. And it'll be interesting to see how certain teams value him. I would assume it's kind of a mixed bag because of the inconsistency that I've been talking about. But, you know, some people like to bag on Kuzma, and I get it. I get it. When he plays poorly, it's very, very frustrating. I totally understand that. But when he plays well, I mean, I think he's very, very valuable for this team, and he's an incredible fit next to the two superstar players that the Lakers have. So, man, this is just the start. This is just the start of trade season. There's going to be a lot of rumors, I think, especially around Kyle Kuzma, because he is probably their most attractive trade chip, and you're going to probably see a lot of different rumors out there. So hopefully Kuz can figure it out and can get it more adjusted to the role that he's in this year, and can, you know, get and stay healthy and start to knock down shots with more consistency, more regularity. And maybe, you know, all the trade rumors become a moot point at that point. So we'll have to just kind of wait and see. So far, all we've got is conflicting reports from both sides saying that, you know, the Kings have called the Lakers about Kyle Kuzma because they're interested, and that then we got reports saying that they're not interested in shopping Bogdanovich and that they're willing to pay him. And I don't really buy that because they just paid Buddy Hield. And are you really? I don't know that they would pay Bogdanovich after paying Buddy Hield such a large amount. I don't know. I mean, Harrison Barnes already has a pretty big contract with them. Dwayne Dedman wants to be traded, but he's making $13 million a year. Corey Joseph makes $12.6 million next season. So they've got some decent-sized contracts on top of Buddy Hield's $26 million next year. So definitely something to keep an eye on, though. There's going to be a lot of trade rumors, but Bogdanovich, I'm a fan of. I'm definitely a fan of his, and I think he would be a perfect fit for this team. But I would also like to see the Lakers try and see if they can get creative and add guys like Darren Collison without giving up assets. That'd be really, really nice if they can do that. But if not, I think a deal for Bogdanovich would be helpful. So, again, depends on the all the pieces that would be involved, either going to Sacramento or coming back, if a deal did get done. But this is something to keep an eye on, for sure. So, trade season is here. Trade rumors are just going to be all over the place because it's the Lakers. I mean, we should be used to this by now, but it's always exciting, but it's also kind of annoying at the same time. So, all right. Before I ramble on more about it, I'm going to get out of here. Again, let me know in the comments, guys, what you guys think about a potential Kyle Kuzma for Bogdan Bogdanovic deal. One last thing that I will say before I sign off is I'm a little concerned. Trade rumors seem to really bother Kyle Kuzma last year. I worry that could happen again this year, so hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully he's able to respond, play well, and basically erase all doubt, and basically play his way onto a permanent spot on this roster. So just wanted to throw that in there because last year he definitely seemed to be bothered by the trade rumors based on some of his quotes. So hopefully that doesn't happen again because Lakers, if he's on the roster, Lakers need him to be productive and hit shots and score the basketball off the bench and kind of be that that sixth man kind of sort of. So alrighty, I'm getting out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed the pod. As always, be sure to like this video and subscribe to Lakers Outsiders and UCast Studios on YouTube, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And you can find all of Lakers Outsiders content on LakersOutsiders.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Lakers Outsiders and like us on Facebook. All right. Again, I'm getting out of here until the next trade rumor, which could be tomorrow, could be in 2 weeks from now. Who knows? All we know is there's going to be a lot of trade rumors for the Lakers, especially as they look to probably improve this roster and go for a championship this year because it's within reach for sure with this team. So that's going to do it. Thanks again, guys, for listening. And until next time, this is Gary Kessler with the Lakers Outsiders signing off.